This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
This is Behind the Rose, where Bachelor Nation meets country music and everything in between. Here's your host, Blake Horseman.
Ooh, oh my gosh, what a finale, guys. Welcome to Behind the Rose podcast. I'm your host, Blake Horseman, here with my buddy, as usual, Eric Bradley. Wow. We have a lot to talk about. Honestly, the most dramatic finale ever, man. That really was. It really was, dude. It really was. Like, we have so much to talk about, man. So we just watched 4 hours of television. From beginning to end, I was on the edge of my seat, man. Every time I feel like this show is just dying, they somehow resurrect it and it comes full circle. And somehow, and we'll get into it, but somehow this show, this season ended. Everybody was happy. Just everybody had a happy ending.
Man. Yeah.
Like, what?
Went from
the fuck did I just watch?
Complete shit shows, worst ending ever.
What did I just watch?
Yeah.
Let's get into it, guys. Let's get into this. We go back all the way to Monday night, right?
Yeah,
Exactly. Last night. So we start out. I mean, Clayton's in a fucking church with the most ominous, like,
real
choir. So, yeah, just like praying, like, oh my God, what's happened? I'm broken. We finally got the line, right? I'm so broken, right? We got the line. And I do believe Clayton in this moment feels broken. I do. I feel like, I mean, he said it. He loves Susie the most. I really, really do think he loves Susie the most.
I think we learned a lot about different tiers of love in the last eight hours we just watched.
Well, and not even from Clayton. Like, no. Even the girls were like talking about certain levels of love, and it was
even
very
when Susie
confusing.
Was saying no.
Yes. Like, so confusing.
I'm not
right.
The same level of love as you. Like, oh my God.
What? Yeah. But yeah, well, I mean, we basically start out. So, you know, obviously Susie just dumped Clayton. He's broken. But he still has these two girls left. Right. So we go to the rose ceremony. This, I think Jesse kept saying it, rose ceremony from hell. And it really, really was. First of all, gorgeous location with incredible acoustics.
Like, oh my gosh.
Incredible acoustics. you have, I mean, so basically going into this, Clayton decides, and this I want to talk to you about because at first, when you see the previews and everything, and I'm like, why? Why did Clayton decide to tell both of them in this moment that he was not only intimate with all of them, which honestly, not a big deal, like they didn't care, but why he was so in love, or that he said, I love you to all three of them. And at first, I was like, why would he do that? Why not either pull them aside individually, or why, you know, tell them next week?
I think that's kind of bizarre in today's world, because I think in the past, they would have been more upset about the intimacy piece instead of the I love you piece. Now it was just like, that was.
Yeah. I think it could have been maybe just the fact that it was both. Like, not only did he say, I love you, but he also slept with everybody. Maybe it was all of it combined. And maybe they edited out the part where they were angry about the sex. I don't know. You know, I don't know. But
how long do you think they stood there before Susie walked up?
A very long time.
Before Susie didn't walk up, actually.
So a very long time, because this exact thing happened to me and Garrett, because Jason got sent home in the middle of his date. I bet me and Garrett stood there for 45 minutes. And finally, they literally were waiting for me and Garrett to do the same thing that they did. Like, look at each other and be like, wait, where's Jason? And then they sent Becca down. So they literally, who knows? I mean, I guess it depends on how long it took them to say, but a long time. So, but back to why do you think it was a good idea to a degree for Clayton? So Clayton explains it, right? He says, I don't know if this is a deal breaker for the other women too. So I want to be transparent. I want to let them know in case they want to leave and also dump me. And so in that moment, I was like, oh, fuck, good point.
Like, yeah, I totally agree, because that's the situation. Because it's like, yeah, he just did get burned with that with Susie. And he was probably just thinking like, oh, shit, this is might be a deal breaker for these two, too. And I think in that, in the transparency piece, like, obviously that gets touched down again later in the show or tonight. And I think he, in his mind, was being transparent, but he was not being transparent. I don't even know, man. This is this is really a hard one.
It is hard. So I,
like, he even said while they were both standing there, he was like, "I'm not the same man that, you know, we left hometowns as."
This is true. Yeah.
Like, he was completely different.
Yeah.
I don't know on this one. This is very.
I mean, I don't think. Unfortunately, I don't think there was another choice. If he had given them the roses, and then turned around and told them next week that he was intimate and loved everybody, like, then they would have been pissed that he didn't tell him sooner. You know, I don't think it was a lose-lose for Clayton. There's nothing he really could have done in this moment. He had already pretty much dug his grave at this point. Now, as far as the women handling this.
This was gut-wrenching. They were
broken, man. And I mean, we're going to talk about this a lot, because I think I've never seen quite the heartbreak that Rachel pretty much went
twice.
Through. Twice. Yeah, exactly.
Twice. He broke up with them twice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so... I mean, the biggest thing to me is the fact that Gabby, right? So they talk, he begs them to stay, They go back to the rose ceremony. He offers Rachel the rose. She accepts it. You know,
Rachel,
I mean,
it was the right, that was his ride or die, man.
It was, it really was. So she takes the rose, but then Gabby, he offers her the rose and she says no and leaves. Well,
what would have happened? Was she the winner at that point?
Yeah, at that point, Rachel. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's at this point, Rachel's F1. Rachel's reaction to Gabby walking away was iconic. Just complete shocked. And her, just her, like, am I now like it?
Yeah, like, and she was like, he doesn't deserve it. I don't deserve it. She doesn't deserve it. Like,
it was wild to watch. It really, really was. And then
The entrance,
he somehow
convinces
Gabby to stay. Like,
I think Gabby knew, because she alluded to it, that, like, what was the word she used? It wasn't like sacrifice, but she gave him like the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah,
to kind of see it through. But I think she knew, because what did she say? I hope I don't regret this next week.
Yeah,
something like,
yeah,
like,
which she did.
Yeah, I mean,
but I just can't believe these women keep coming back.
But Rachel, this is the most powerful moment maybe on Bachelor history, I think, is when Gabby did come up and Rachel embraced Gabby. Mm-hmm. Was like, are you okay? Like, that was such a powerful, like, moment for them.
That was cool. It was really cool.
It was a beautiful moment.
It was really cool. And then, but okay, let's talk about then having him offer the rose again. That was just fucking weird, man. So bizarre. Why have him stand back up there again, call her up to offer the rose again? It was super weird, super, super weird. But somehow we have both of them going on to meet his family, Gabby and Rachel moving on. This has got to be one of the most, it could have, you know, it didn't end up as awkward as I thought it was going to be. It could have been the most awkward, like, family meeting ever, because he led into his family telling them about Susie. He's like, all excited, like, you're going to meet Gabby and Rachel, but I'm still thinking about Susie. It was like, why are you telling them this? You know, it was super weird. But I got to give props to not only the women, Gabby and Rachel, but his family, man. His family,
dude, his mom and dad.
Phenomenal. He's got a phenomenal family. They handle the whole thing really, really well. And I mean, I don't want to say this because I do, like, I don't want to say this as in, like, they're actors, but, like, they handle that professionally. Like, it could have been a total train wreck, but I think, like, the way his family handled it was, like, very professional. And I don't mean that in the fact that, like, they said what they were meant to say or, you know, told to say or anything like that. Like, I just think they just handled themselves super well. And obviously, I mean,
they were on the ladies' side.
They were, both of it, his mom and his brothers. Like, everybody was kind of on the girl's side, calling him, like, a dumbass.
Yeah.
Like, you really, what did he say? Screwed the pooch.
Yeah.
Like, you really screwed the pooch on this one, son. And he's right. Like, you gotta respect an honest you know, take like that. Like, you
fucked up. And her and his mom even said that, like, basically these ladies now are a consolation prize.
Oh, that was a line that was oof. And he was like, they're not. Oh man, that was brutal. But you know, and then the conversations they had with each girl, you know, I mean, you know, Gabby was first, and I mean, I'm trying to think of what really stuck out to me. And I liked the conversation, you know, he had with, so Gabby had with his mom. And then I really liked conversation Rachel had with his dad, where Rachel or his dad was like, but do you trust him? Right. That was with Rachel, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And the first thing his dad said to Gabby was, he asked her, are you okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
After what happened last night, like they were, his parents really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They know what's going on.
They were great.
Here.
Yeah. And they were great, but in a cool way, they were still supportive and empathetic to their son, but also empathetic to the women. Like they did a really good job.
They were more empathetic than Clayton was to these women.
Yeah. They did a really good job with all of that.
We'll be right back.
I did know, like, as Gabby said goodbye, though, like, you could tell, like, that it was kind of done with them, I feel like.
Yeah,
it was
kind of
there was nothing there.
Yeah.
I feel.
No, I agree. I mean, I think at this point, these girls were like, I think Rachel was still very much into him and still wanting it to work. But the way I think Gabby had kind of tried, I could tell she was trying, but I just think it had been ruined for her.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest thing, and I, you know, I tweeted about it and I talked about it, and a lot of people, you know, were saying like, it's not that Clayton wasn't empathetic. I just don't think he was empathetic enough. I don't think he was willing to think of how those women felt in those moments. He was kind of, you know, more worried about himself, which I get. It's The Bachelor. And you are the lead. The world revolves around you in that environment. I get why it could get ahead of you. And I think the biggest thing, and I've talked about this before, I think we've chatted about it on the podcast before. I have always said that when it hits hometowns, the journey, the process, the experience, whatever you want to call it, changes dramatically. Otherwise, you are hanging out with a bunch of dudes. You're just chilling. It's not as, you know, intense. It's not, you're not really, really falling, or at least most people aren't falling in love in that moment. But as soon as hometown hits, feelings become very real, scary real. You're isolated. You're worried about, you know, what's happening in the fantasy suites, what's happening in hometowns, how those dates are going. So to me, I've always said this, I think they should choose a lead from at least the final four, but I think the final three that have been through the fantasy suites and understand the pain, anguish, stress, anxiety that comes with being in the final three, of watching the person you love have a fantasy suite and possibly sleep with another person and fall in love with another person. It is incredibly excruciating and heartbreaking. And so I think Clayton just couldn't empathize with that because he didn't go through it. He didn't fall in love with Michelle. He didn't have a moment where he was like completely broken. He didn't have that moment. So that's just my two cents. I just think they need bachelor and bachelorettes who have been through the experience and the journey.
Well, I'm trying to think back to like the recent previous contestants, like who obviously Matt James didn't even have any show any connection to the show other than Tyler Cameron.
Yep. Then you have Katie and Claire. Katie was sixth. Yeah. I don't know what Claire was. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Kate. And then Tayshia and Claire. Tayshia was third.
And where was Pete?
Pete was third.
Was he third?
Third or fourth. But again, I'm not saying necessarily that it's successful. I'm saying that they understand and empathize with the contestants more than somebody who like a Matt James or somebody who just like didn't really have this crazy experience on the, you know, as a contestant. I think Pete was able to empathize. Like he was pretty broken up. So I don't know. That's just my two cents. And I think Bachelor Data, shout out to Bachelor Data. I think she's going to put together some data for us on what exactly, I guess she will have to, because you can't really measure empathy, but she's going to kind of measure success rate of people who leads who have been in the top three compared to other leads, which honestly, there are not many leads who haven't been in the top three. That like recently started. Like Ari, you know what I mean? Like I think that recently started that leads weren't really in the, and he was, you know, seasons before. But so, yeah, I don't know. I just think that that's probably one of the biggest problems I see with Clayton as a lead in this episode. It's kind of crazy to watch. The craziest part of this episode, actually, was the fact that then, at the end of the episode, he admits that he's still in love with Susie.
To his parents again, and they're just, this lady walked away from you.
And they kept saying like, that she got in the car.
You're grasping at straws.
Yes, yes. And they were like, didn't his brother or somebody say like, or he said, you know, she wouldn't have said something and she would have walked away. They're like, she did. Or he said she'd be here right now. And they're like, what? She isn't. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it was just this weird, like, and what are you thinking?
And then his one brother, Nate, who we've met, mm-hmm. was like, follow your heart. I kind of can't blame him for following his heart through all of this.
But the hardest part was he begged Gabby and Rachel to stay, man.
Yeah, no, I know. He broke up with him twice.
Oh, man, dude. Like, I don't think Clayton is a bad guy, guys. I don't. I know you don't either.
But we've met
fuck,
him.
Man. He's a really I know. Good he's, dude, actually. He's genuinely a great guy, but fuck. He messed up bad.
I mean, you talk about the producers all the time. I mean, they just got someone who would 100% do everything that was asked of him. And and he was in way over his head here. Yeah.
That's the biggest thing. I think he was way in over his head. He was trying to please the producers. He was trying to please the women. He was trying to find a partner. And it's like when you make a lie and then you have to lie to keep that lie a secret. And then you lie again to keep those lies a secret. That's what it felt like. He was just digging, man. He was just digging his hole. And oh, it was hard to watch this, man. It was hard to watch this. And that's basically where the next episode picks up.
Well, enter Jesse. Oh, Susie's still in Iceland.
Jesse. Yeah, that's shocking. Right. Jesse's out of his family. Like, oh, yeah, weird. Because it's literally been 2 days.
Which is probably true, because I'm sure ABC doesn't want to pay for that flight change. It's probably flight expensive change and, from Iceland.
Well, and I've said it before, like, they kept me in London for 5 days because they don't want, you know, anybody to know, like, look, Gabby, or, you know, Susie came home a week before Gabby and Rachel. So they do that. But just the fact that, like, then Jesse, like, that was just really weird to me, too, the way Susie came back, right? Like, Jesse says, you know, she's still in Iceland or whatever. And Clayton's like, okay, well, you know, I want to see her. Like, I want to talk to her. So Jesse goes and talks to her. And basically, it's like, he kind of tried to convince her. He's like, I think Clayton's a wreck. Clayton's just like, Jesse's like, I'll handle this one, bro. The guy, you stay here. I'm going to go get your girl. Like, you've done enough, man. Like, I'll do this. So Jesse goes, convinces Susie to go see Clayton. But my question is, why did they have his family there?
Yeah, it just went from Jesse and Susie to enter Susie with the family.
It seems so weird, man, like, and chopped up. Here? And like, it was like the last line was like, there's no way in hell or whatever that you know, Susie's come by from his dad. Like 0% chance. And in walks Susie, ding, 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 you know? And it was like so weird because did they think Susie was just going to be like, hi, and just like sit down with his parents? Because she instantly was like, can we talk?
Did she just acknowledge his parents?
I know. I can't just literally like, let's talk. So yeah, it was, I don't know. It was weird. It was set up very strange. So they talk, right? They talk on the, and there's zero conclusion to that conversation. Like, I mean,
pretty much leaves off is when she dumped him.
Yeah. She, you know how she was kind of like apologetic toward the end of their conversation before? This one, she almost came in like, I feel disrespected and like you treated me, you know, terrible, which I agree with. So it was weird. Like, Clayton just basically apologized, which he does a lot of. Just apologize, and says how much he loves her and like give him a chance, blah, blah, blah. And she just is kind of like, I'll think about it later. And just pieces out in the SUV. And then we don't really see her until like the final fucking day. So that was really weird. We'll get into that a little bit, but that was super weird. But the craziest part now is Clayton has to go back and dump the girls again. He has to dump Gabby and Rachel again, basically. Oh my God, man. Just think back now. It's just like fucking brutal, man. I got to give it to Clayton, though.
Insane.
I know. Insane time. This is all happening within 4 days, guys. Like, quick. 4 or 5 days. But the fact that, like, I got to give it to Clayton, man, because he didn't exactly have a choice. I mean, I guess Colton jumped the fence and tried to run away. But, like, he did handle this like a man. I mean, he was, like, owning up to his mistakes. He's like, I got to now dump these women. They're going to fucking hate me. And I know they should hate me. They're allowed to hate me, but I have to do it. And in a way, it's like, yeah, you're an idiot. Like, what you've been doing is dumb, but like, fuck, he's owning it. Like, he's, but then he dumps them together, man. It was, what was that?
it was the first ever threesome breakup in Bachelor history.
Dump, man. And like this, like you talked about, this is an example, in my opinion, of Clayton being a fucking puppet, man. And I feel bad for him because I know what it's like. I know what it's like to want to please these people because they think you think they're your friends, you know? And like, they are to a degree, but like, they have a job to do at the end of the day, man. And you dump them together makes their job, makes them get a little pat on the back from their boss, man. You know?
What's crazy too is I don't know if you noticed this. Obviously, there's the one common room probably that they were hanging out in, and each of the ladies had their two separate rooms, right?
Right.
So obviously Gabby was like, I'm fucking done. This is it. Goes to her room. He chases her.
Oh.
Ride or die, Rachel stays in that common room. That woman loves this man.
Dude, I don't, even with the Becca and Ari breakup, because I didn't watch that entire season.
Yeah, I didn't see it at all.
That was really hard to watch, and I felt for Becca. But this, I think this might have been worse, man. Just like the whole, all of Rachel's breakdown and everything. But you're right. Like, they dump each other, and Gabby's like, fuck you. Fuck this. Like, I'm out. And he chases her. And then, dude, she just destroys him.
This was her bachelorette moment right there. Like,
just destroys him. I mean,
she was pretty much just like, bitch, please. Like,
and spitting facts, though. She was angry, but she wasn't letting the anger get the best of her. She was still staying composed, eloquently speaking, and she just let him fucking have it.
Yeah, I mean, he was still sitting there saying, I love you.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
He's like that. She was like, that is such bullshit. And the way she was just like, you... Like, I don't believe anything you're saying anymore. Like, I can't trust you. And I don't blame her. And he's just like, at this point, he's just in the fetal position. You know, like, the man can't say a thing.
Can I walk you out? No.
No. That was so savage. And the disgusting look she had on her face. Oh. I'm just like, no. Like, fuck no. Just brutal, man. And Clayton's like, okay, bye. And it was very interesting to see Gabby angry. Didn't even cry, really. You know, maybe a little. She was emotional.
I think she saw it coming, though. I think she was kind of mentally prepared for it at this point after that, the rose ceremony.
Yeah.
Because I think she did set herself up for it. She knew it. She knew which was what was happening.
But then you have the opposite of Rachel. Just broken. Just, I've never seen crying in his arms. Like, she just seems so heartbroken, man. I mean, the way she was just, oh man, I just can't even put it into words, man. Like, her cry felt so real. It wasn't, you know, sometimes you get these fucking cries for camera and you get these cries for trying to be the bachelorette. You know, we've had multiple contestants talk about how they cry on Women Tell All or cry on After Final Rose to try and get the bachelorette. This didn't seem like this. This seemed like genuinely broken, just tears of a woman who was just destroyed. And what killed
blindsided,
me, man.
Blindsided.
Yes, and agree. I think she actually was blindsided. Oh, yeah. I really do. Yeah. But I think the line that killed me the most was like, she was like crying through her tears. She was like, you're really going to put me in this car. Mm-hmm. Like, you're really doing this. This is happening. And it was just heart-wrenching, man. Heart-wrenching.
And what stuck out to me was she said, she's 100% right. She was like, you need to stop saying you fought for me. I have fought for this alone. And she ain't lying.
What a fucking line, man. She was not lying. Gotta give it to her. And just like, and then she gets into the van, right? And she's like, he didn't shed a tear. Like,
He didn't shed a tear at all.
Well, I think at this point, that man is numb.
I think he is
numb. He's exhausted. He is
I can just imagine how emotionally just and mentally drained.
Yeah. He is just numb.
And I wonder if just his thoughts of at production at this point,
he's angry. I think with production, there was a moment in the episodes last week, not the two this week, last week, where I think I saw him mumble, fuck you guys under his breath to the production. And I think it was Susie left. Yeah. You can see it. And I think it's when Susie left because I think he wanted Susie first as Fantasy Suites. So yeah, I think he's just frustrated with everything, the process, the production, just everything. You know, I think he's just fucking pissed. And I mean, he's having his Colton jumping a fence moment, but he just didn't do it. You know what I mean? He just didn't jump the fence. So at this point, like,
well, he's like backtracking through his season.
Yeah, exactly. And then to this point. So this is another weird thing where, like, I think the show like ran out of fucking time because suddenly we're up to the final rose ceremony, right? We don't even really see him pick out. I mean, he picks out a ring. We don't really even get to like.
I don't even think it was a rose. It was in hopes that she would just show up from the date card he wrote.
Yeah. Did he know she was showing up? Like, it seems so weird.
I don't
weird
think he did.
Me,
cause man. I think he said in that, he's like, I just hope she shows up today in that. Oh, she's like, will you meet me countryside or whatever it was in his,
the location wasn't unbelievable. Yeah. That barn, the flames, like that was a,
and my God, she looked stunning.
She looked great
when she got out of that car.
Yeah. Yeah. So we suddenly we don't even know at this point, like if Gabby, I mean, we find out, but like if Gabby's even, you know, forgiven him at all, yet he pulls out a ring out of his pocket.
Oh, you're talking about like, not Susie. You're still confused.
Sorry, Susie. Susie. Yeah.
It's been a wild one.
Yeah, I know. So we don't even know if Susie loves him at this point, but he has a ring, you know, and he's like, this is how dedicated and how much I want this. And I thought his speech was good. Like I did. I thought it was genuine. And I think he genuinely was like, just give me a shot. Like, let me prove to you that you are the one. And you've been the one for a while. You know, like I do think he meant the words, but then let's talk about like the way I thought Susie was going to say yes. Like she started that out being like, you're a great man. I am in love with you. I see the future too. I'm like, what is happening? You know, I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Is she gonna say yes?
A long ass butt.
And then she does the pause and the butt, and she talks about how she is all those things. She does love him, but she doesn't love him the way he loves her.
Yeah, different. Another tier of love brought into this.
Very interesting. Like, I guess I get it to a degree. Like, she has love for him. You know, that saying goes, I have love for you, but I'm not in love with you.
Or maybe she's now falling and like she's still in the falling in love state. I don't even know what levels of love are anymore after this.
I know. It's just, it's bizarre, man. And the way she's like, she's very stoic during this. She's not really getting emotional. She's very stoic. He is too. You know, and she basically is like, you know, I can't do this, whatever. And then he turns around and asks her like, but is this it? Like, can we date? You know, like, I think that's what he was getting at. He didn't say it.
Well, like, he did say the only way that this will be over to me is if you say it's over. And then she was like, it's over.
She did. She's like, I'm leaving Iceland single. Like, at this moment, I feel for Clayton now.
He started off the season, got dumped night one, got dumped the last night of the season.
I saw a tweet that said, man, The Bachelor was up 30-1 and losing The Bachelor. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God. Man. And at this point, I feel for Clayton, man. Like this
was
man
like
is
the Patriots when Atlanta was up on the Patriots, like 30-3.
Yeah. 28-3. Just fucking, man. I mean, at this moment, like as bad as Clayton's fucked up, man, and as bad as like he's made some mistakes and he's owned them and he knows he has. I'm feeling for him, man. I'm just
like, I almost feel like he's just like a big dumb animal at this point.
I know,
like,
he's just like, and he just wants to be loved. Like I genuinely, and I genuinely think he wants to be loved. I do. I genuinely think he wants to find somebody to be loved. And he just didn't have it. Man, he didn't have it. He didn't.
I hope he's still buddies with us after this.
I know. No, we haven't said anything.
I know. And but it, I mean, I think it, he it's knows. Just gassing your boy. That's all it is.
Yeah, and he knows. He knows he fucked up. He's said it 1,000 times. Oh,
he's owned up to every time he has fucked up.
He's like, I have nothing else. He's just been in the fetal position for fucking. He's been in the fetal position for 3 months. Like, this man has just probably been like, I'm ruined. I'm destroyed. This is gonna be brutal. But let's get into the ladies' hot seats, man. Let's get into the ladies' hot seats. The first one.
Well, did you notice first, like, a couple of things in the background? Obviously, Aaron and Genevieve sitting next to each other.
Yeah.
And did you see Demi and Shanae sitting next to each other the whole
time? Not a mistake. And did you see Demi not clap once for Clayton? She was just like, fucking not going to do it, man. Oh, God. Listen, there was a lot of Bachelor people in the crowd. Holy fuck. Mm-hmm. Like, even people, like, obviously every season there's somebody from LA, because why not? They're down the street.
They're all there.
They flew a lot of people in for this. They flew a lot of people in for this, which I don't really know why, for them to just sit in the crowd. I don't. It was really weird. I guess they're going to party now. They're partying hard right now, probably.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. So I guess it's a good chance for them to, like, oh, you think they want a little drama going into Paradise? Who fucked after the final rose? Uh-oh. No stagecoach this year. It's going to be. No stagecoach this year. It's going to be who hooked up after the final rose.
Well, stagecoach is still a month away, so they're still.
Yeah, but there's going to be a lot of them there.
Yeah, I know.
But, so, yeah, we know there's going to be quite a few.
And you'll be
there
too, so just kidding.
But fuck, man, like, that is so true. Just realized, that just clicked a little bit. Like, maybe they want some drama. Because I remember.
Yeah. I mean, that placement of Aaron and Genevieve were not. Like,
that's so funny. But I remember now, wow, this is coming back to me. I remember because I did this. I sat there and I was the guest panel on Colton's finale. I was the guest panel. And I remember going back to the room, me and Jason, and we were like, let's go out. And all the girls were hitting up me and Jason, being like, where are y'all going? And I remember texting like a few of the girls, and they were like, or DMing, and they were like, where are y'all going? And we wouldn't tell because I was terrified at that point. And we ended up not hanging out with them. So I guarantee you there's a huge part. Oh, I can't wait to hear about that. Mark, remember this moment. Remember this. We have to come back to this episode if it ends up on the beach, drama on the beach from this.
We'll be right back.
Let's get into the Gabby hot seat. So I felt like this is a bit of a flip-flop. Right. We have Gabby pissed off and angry at Clayton in the moment, and Rachel's sad. And I feel like it flip flopped a little bit. Gabby was a little bit more composed, eloquent.
Well, and I love
almost that, showing a little empathy to Clayton.
Yeah. And yeah. I do love that Grandpa ran up to her. He's like, screw this. I'm going to go give my baby a hug.
That was cute. That was adorable. He's crying. He's the man.
I love that they kept panning to him and Tony throughout the show as
well. Yeah, Tony. Fucking Tony, man. Yeah, we'll talk about that.
It did.
Yeah. Right? I feel like it switched.
And another thing, just because I know we just discussed Susie leaving, but did you love the role reversal where it was with Gabby, can I walk you out? No. And then Susie, can I walk you out, Clayton?
Or, no.
This guy is just, and then he's yeah, and the Gabby thing, like, yeah, she pretty much again puts him on full blast.
She does.
She is a wordsmith.
In a way, like, she, yes, but there's something she said. So that's funny you say that, because there's something she said that I was like, what are you talking about? like she talked about how, like, I was competing for your level. Well, yeah, it's the Bachelor. And there was another moment where she said something like her, the one line I think that was, she wanted that to be like her moment where she was like, I don't want to be loved the most. I just want to. It was like confusing, man.
Oh, she said that. She said that at the rose ceremony.
Yeah,
she didn't want to be loved the most. She just wanted to be loved.
Chosen or something. And she said it again at after the final rose. And I was kind of like, it doesn't. I don't know. Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, literally, the Bachelor and Bachelorette pick the person they love the most. Like, that is the show. You compete for the love. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, like, that's what it is. So I don't know. There's some things where I was like,
so moving forward, should they just have the lead just not say I love you until the final person? I mean,
if a fucking lead does it again, like, you've seen now it failed and it's terrible. Like,
and everyone does get back. Yeah, it seems like that has
happened. This is a bad idea. So
or like the sleeping, the intimacy piece, like
that's not a big deal. I know multiple Bachelor and Bachelorettes who have slept with all three. So, yeah. And that's fine. That's a love
that's
you.
What I blows
love
me away, like kind of the almost hypocrisy of it.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. But it's the, it's
and it's
the,
been I like, it's, they won't say any names, but it's a lot of your, a lot of favorites.
Yeah. Oh, a lot of fan favorites. A lot of fan favorites I've slept with.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot. So yeah, it's, yeah. I mean, it's the I love you thing, but yeah, Gabby put him on blast and everything, but at the same time, she was sympathetic. She hugged him. She walked in. She hugged him goodbye.
She's over him. Like you can totally tell. Like, yeah, she was just like, I'm done. She I think she was checked out a long time ago anyway.
Yeah. Rachel, on the other hand, she took a different approach. She was very sad. And listen, I've been there. I've sat on that couch and had to watch myself get dumped and had to watch it over again. And it does get emotional. It takes you back to that moment. And I've been there and it was hard for me sitting on that couch. Rachel was crying. Like Rachel got emotional watching that back again.
She had a consistent stream.
Mm-hmm. And she was trying to explain, like, it's not because I love him still. It's just, it did strike a chord with me again, like being back and seeing it again and being back in Iceland. But she had no love lost for Clayton.
No, she didn't stand up.
She didn't stand up when the man walked in. She was angry, man. Just, you disrespected me. I don't believe you. You never loved me. Just
what her life tonight was in the, going back to, she said she felt blindsided because she wasn't able to stand up for herself in that moment.
Yeah.
And it's very, very truthful.
Yeah, it is. And I think the line that what did you think about the line when she said, you know, like, did you say you loved me just so you could sleep with me? I mean, obviously Clayton said no, and I don't think that's the case.
I don't either.
In Clayton's defense, I don't think that was the case. I thought that was a little too far. I didn't think that was a question Rachel should have asked.
Yeah, I thought that was a bit of a reach of a question. Yeah.
And I think, I don't know if she just wanted him to feel even worse. Like, I don't know what she was doing with that. Really, that everything else she said was spot on. Like, I thought she, you know, the way she talked about being like, you kept saying over and over again, like you were looking for the person you love the most, yet you said it to Susie the night before, whatever.
She said
that
she pretty much became collateral damage.
Yeah, which I agree.
And 100%
her and Gabby. Yeah. So all of the other stuff, but that whole thing, did you sleep with me because, or you said you love me because you want to sleep with me? Like, I was like, oh, easy there. But again, both of these hot seats, there's literally nothing Clayton could say to make it better.
No.
And he couldn't make them feel better. Couldn't make himself look better. There was nothing the man could say other than tuck his tail between his legs and roll over. And he did.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what else. Like, I saw people out there being like, you know, that was a piss poor apology. It's like, no apology would have been enough.
I mean, how many times has he said, he said sorry a lot.
So much. And owned it and been like, I'm an idiot and I'm learning and I'm learning and I'm learning and I'm trying to be better. Blah, blah, blah. And then they asked fucking Jesse asked Tony to pipe in. Oh.
Tony.
Tony stayed cool though. Tony stayed cool. Except Tony's wife did not. She was just kind of like, she was angry.
Yeah.
And then Clayton fucking, you know, was like, I'm sorry I hurt your daughter. Like, what else is the man supposed to say?
Yeah.
You know?
Just I was really wondering if, like, if Tony was going to like.
He'd go. Yeah. He should go out the back though. I'll tell you that. Clayton should go out the back.
I feel sorry for those. The 40, 60, I don't know how many dudes are going to be on their season, but I feel bad for whoever's competing for Rachel now.
Yeah, because she's
got... you got to deal with Tony.
No shit. Oh, that's funny.
Well, now we get to Clayton's hot seat. And...
Well, yeah, we get to Clayton's hot seat, but yeah, we get to... Well, yeah, we had Clayton hot seat before he met the ladies, right? Or was it after?
After.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. I was thinking of like the women tell all. There's been a lot of hot seats. Again, I don't. Nothing he could say. Like, you know. I mean, I guess the only thing we could talk about here is the fact that like suddenly, he's not alone, right? He's not single anymore.
Yeah, someone reached out.
Yeah, and honestly, I did not think it was going to be Susie, dude. I thought it was gonna be a different girl from his season, or like a different girl from a season.
I was looking when they said it, if Shanae was still sitting right behind him, and she was. Or I was like, Demi.
That would have been hilarious. So, you know, and they had me, and I was on the edge of my seat, and in walks Susie. Like, what? Like, I'm just so shocked after what we just watched for the last fucking 8 hours. You know what I mean?
For the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks. Then suddenly she's back with them, man. It's just like, what did I just watch,
is this,
man?
Not Colton and Cass all over again.
Which makes sense why they had them? Cassie at the
last night. That's right.
Yeah, that's why they had Cassie. At the after fun. It was because that makes it, because I was kind of like, I thought she was done with the, you know, with the franchise in general. Like, why come back? No, it makes sense.
It was good to see her last night.
And she did a phenomenal job. Let's talk about that for a second. Cassie's answer had just enough snark in it, but also still great points. She did a phenomenal job. All the guest hosts or the guests did. They really did. Even Nick, he did a good job.
I was going to ask you, I was like, because I think earlier we were kind of on a phone call. I was like, I actually agreed with everything Nick said last night.
Like, yeah. And I'm like, damn it. Very fuck accurate. Me too. Yeah. Yeah. No, he did a good job. He did it. He had a great answer. And yeah, you know, I thought everybody did. Becca, Claire, Michelle, everybody.
Rodney was there.
Rodney. Yeah. So yeah, we forgot to talk about that. They did good. Cassie fucking did amazing. Cause that was not an easy question. That was not an easy question after what she's been through. So shout out to Cassie.
She threw just enough shade.
Yeah, the perfect amount of shade and snarky. Like, it was good. It was good. And then, yeah, so Susie and Clayton are back together. And they look genuinely happy, man.
Which, like, is probably
Susie
how
is
it
beaming.
Should. Yeah, that's my boyfriend.
Yeah, like, Susie is beaming at this point. Like, it's wild to me. And you know what?
It's actually how life should be. Like,
I'm rooting for him.
There's no pressure. There shouldn't be the pressure to be engaged. Like, maybe go and experience real life. Mm-hmm. I mean, he obviously said, like, he sold it. Like, he just moved to Phoenix, sold everything, quit his job, sold his condo, and moving to Virginia now. Like,
they're all in. And they're fucking, they look genuinely happy. You know how,
so
like,
happy.
Do you remember Peter and fucking Maddie's?
Oh.
Like, they weren't even touching each other.
No.
Like, they genuinely look happy. So, and the craziest part is, I think they're going to work, man. Look at Ari and Lauren. Look at all these couples.
You didn't see it because you were on assignment, but Nate and Michelle, their season, their finale, their ending, same thing. He was like, I'm moving to Minnesota.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like,
I hope they do too. I hope they work. And
I'm a big fan of both of them. I've talked to Susie.
I am too, man.
Like,
I am
on the back channels through DMs.
Yeah.
She is I love these two.
No, I'm a big fan of all of this. I mean, good for them. Like, at the end of the day, right? The show is meant, doesn't matter how.
No, and just get there.
You get to the point where you're happy on that couch. And they did it, man. They did it. So shout out to them. We wish them luck.
Plant
we love them.
The seed's planted. Now they just got to water it.
Yeah. And the one thing that the couples who go through, I don't know if there's going to be a lot of people rooting for them. I don't know if there's going to be a lot of people who are happy to see them together. And I think that's just going to make the relationship stronger. They're just going to have them, you know, they're just going to have to fight together and, like, just ignore the outsiders and the hate. And I think that helps the relationship. And I think it's going to help their relationship.
And,
so,
I think I've said this since the beginning of the season, just because, like, how uncomfortable they were together with these flashy dates. They were very much out of their comfort zone a lot of the times that they were together on the show. Mm-hmm. I think them being in real life situation, I think they're going to 100% be compatible.
Yeah. No, I mean, So shout out to those two. Fun little ending for them. And he gives her the final rose. Thank God he didn't propose. Holy shit.
I think he just wanted the moment where he did not get rejected as his last thing on television.
He didn't get dumped. Yes. But no, that was a really cute moment. It was a cute moment. She accepted it. And they're riding off into the sunset hand in hand. So I'm rooting for him. Can't wait to meet them both together. But maybe we'll see if they want to come to Stagecoach. I have some extra tickets. So they leave, though. That's the craziest part. They leave us before the commercial break with, now we get the next bachelorette, and it's not Rachel or Gabby.
And I love it. Now my head's spinning, bro. And I texted you. I was like, it's going to be both.
Yeah. And then it does make sense. But my head is spinning at this point. And I'm like, I checked Tayshia. And I'm like, Tayshia hasn't put any stories up.
Well, it's kind of weird. Tayshia has been off social media for a minute.
Exactly. So I'm like,
is she going to be back? But I was like, they can't let these two go like this.
So the reason I so agree, but the reason I did think, you know what? But listen, Bachelor in Paradise is a bigger show at this point. Like, I think Bachelor in Paradise is going to be their like flagship. This is their baby, is Bachelor in Paradise. So I'm like, yes, send Gabby, Rachel, and Serene down to that fucking beach. It will be amazing television. So I'm like, okay, bring Teddy or Tayshia. Like, boom. You know what I mean? Because everybody else was in the crowd. So, you know, there's a lot of people we could count out. So I'm like, yes, this is going to be great. Paradise Sinead, is going to be wild. Yeah.
Like, now it's just going to be Cassidy, Serene. So now
who the fuck is in Paradise, guys? Who is in Paradise? Like, I love, listen, Serene, first Sam.
Serene,
she
for
is
sure.
The girl.
Serene's Sinead's first going to be down there, obviously.
Sinead's
That's
down
why
there.
She was there.
Yeah. Teddy's going to be down there.
Teddy. I think Cassidy will be there. Genevieve and Aaron will clearly be there.
Genevieve.
Now that they were shown together.
Elizabeth. But like, I'm talking like, guys, there's nobody. And I know, listen, it's just, I get this. Like, I hate saying this, but like, when I say big names, I mean people who are in the final
or
like big
polarizing
names. Yes. People who have
figures.
Been. Yes, exactly. So to me, Serene is the quote unquote biggest name. And after that, there's not a ton of like huge, huge, like final three names or final four hometown names, really. Cause like all of Matt's season is down on the beach and has boyfriends and fiancés. So women wise, they've got to reach back. They've got to go back in seasons now and pick some
Elise
women. Elise, I want Elise
there.
So bad.
Because Elise and Rodney.
Yeah.
You. I don't think you caught any of that either.
No,
like,
she's still. Okay,
Elise and Rodney for
me.
Sure.
Yeah. So but then I started thinking, who from old season doesn't have a boyfriend or engaged? It's crazy right now how many people are in relationships from Bachelor Nation. Like, Paradise could be pretty rough.
Well, and now there's going to be 30 to 60 dudes.
Yeah,
after this one.
We might have 60 dudes on Gabby.
I can't wait to see like how they're going to stream this one.
Yeah,
are they going to be dating? And this was also kind of a cute moment. They're like, are we going to be dating the same guys? We already did.
Yeah. And Jesse's like, honestly, I don't fucking know. Maybe.
I do like that he's back. Yeah, kind of enjoyed him this season.
Jesse's, listen, shout out to Jesse. I thought he did an incredible job. On Women Tell All and this. Yeah. I've been dealing with
him.
He reposted my story last night. He's done a great job. He really has. I think he brings the Chris Harrison professionalism, but he has this like charisma.
Like,
well,
he's also the NFL. He's done color for NFL for so long.
Oh, I know. He's a pro.
Like, he's got a lot of wit.
Exactly. He brings a off the sleeve type vibe to the hosting, which I think he's doing a great job. I really do.
It's like he's not polished, but he is.
Yeah, exactly.
He's
He's
a football guy. He's just a locker room boy.
His vibe is like he's very he's very professional, but he can still have fun and hang out in the locker room. Exactly. Yeah. So he did a great job. But so they announce it's not Gabby or Rachel, it's Gabby and Rachel. And I fucking love it. Like I do. I genuinely am excited, but I'm scared for these two. Because this can either be brilliant, right? And could be so fun to watch, or this can be a complete dumpster fire. This can be a disaster. Because if we're talking, if producers and this show, and honestly, in a way, you can't blame producers too much because if they end up loving the same guy, that's going to be hard to watch.
It's almost going to be like Joe Millionaire. What if you fall in love with like the same people and you have the same final five, then you're going to pin the ladies against each other.
Exactly. If they start pinning Rachel and Gabby against each other, man,
that'll be such a bad look. They have to protect those two.
They've got to be careful with the way this is edited because they have to be careful because like I said, this could be incredible. And so girl power movement and they could like help each other with like, you know, like they could talk to their other boyfriend, like Rachel talks to Gabby's boyfriend. You know what I mean? But then it can also be fucking bad, man. It can be bad. Like, listen, I don't think it'll turn that way because I think Rachel and Gabby are amazing women. I don't think they'd like, you know what I mean? Like, if it was like Shanae and Gabby or Shanae and Rachel, that's different. Yeah, but like these two.
I mean, these two have been such a support system for each other.
Yeah. So fingers crossed for a girl power help each other find their soulmate moments. And so
have you, and we just talked about this pre-show a little bit, have you ever seen everybody win at the end of a season?
Everybody.
You get a rose. You get a TV show. You get a show.
That's so true, man. Like, this is, for being such a fucking dumpster fire the last 8 hours of the show.
Or just everybody's like the last happy. Few seasons. Like,
yeah. Oh, I know. Like, the ratings have been terrible. Like, we've talked about it. Everybody's talking about it. Like, and then all of a sudden, last night, the ratings jumped enormously. And then tonight, won't know till tomorrow. But the ratings are probably insane. And now, leading into the first ever double bachelorette, they might have saved this show, man. They might have saved it. Now, don't get me wrong. Network television is still dying. But this is a good step in the right direction. It is. And I'm excited. I'm excited. So
plus the way you led into the show, I've never seen you so excited about a recap. Dude,
this was the best.
You're hooked back into this
I know,
shit.
They got me, man. This was the best finale I've ever seen. It really was, man. And they crushed it. I don't give production props often, but they fucking crushed the last 6 hours of this
was
season.
The worst season that turned into the one of the best seasons ever.
Like, they almost had less than 2 million viewers at one point. They jumped to 4.5 million on Monday night. And tonight, God knows, they might have hit over 5, which hasn't happened in like 4 seasons. So fuck, hey, you know, for the amount of shit I talk, they crushed this, man. They did. They crushed this. And they crushed picking both Gabby and Rachel.
They did.
Dude, I was sitting there. I was like, if they pick Teddy, or, you know, I love Teddy, but if they pick Teddy over Rachel or Gabby, like, what the fuck? Who is running, pulling the strings? But man, they did it right. They fucking did it right. They did it right. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited. I'm pumped. Problem is now, we haven't had any excitement about any season, and it's been back to back to back to back to back. Now we have excitement. July 16th. So we have April, May, June, and July until it. We have months. We have 4 fucking months until we see that season. Dude.
What are we going to talk about?
I know we've been back to back to back to back to back. Jeez. And now we have to sit here and wait for a season we're excited about. Fucking A. I'm pissed.
Guess we're going to start booking guests again.
I know. We need to get book some guests. A lot of fucking guests. So that was fun, though. That was a fun. I hope you guys enjoyed this last episode this season, because we enjoyed it. So thanks for listening, everyone.
Thanks for hanging in with us another season.
Yes. Yes. Another season. We love you guys. And like I said, we're going to have some fun. We actually have quite a few really fun guests lined up for the next 4, 8, 12, 16 weeks. So stay tuned. We're really excited, and a lot more to come from Behind the Rose podcast. And we'll see you next week.
Behind the Rose is recorded live at the world famous Grizzly Rose, or wherever we happen to be. Be sure to go check out our Instagram at Behind the Rose podcast and follow us so you always know when we drop a new episode, and give us all 5 of those stars. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Behind the Rose.